The Great Feasts, Chapter 50. Rest! How pleasant that is, especially when one is tired. If you romp and play on a nice sunny holiday, then you are tired when evening comes, aren't you? Then it feels so good to be able to lie flat on your back in the grass with your hands under your head. Did you ever do that? Surely you did, didn't you? Probably you then lay looking at the white clouds which were sailing slowly through the deep blue heaven. The Israelites also finally received rest. Ah, they really did not know what rest was. There was no thought of rest in Egypt. They had to work there from early morning until late at night. But God delivered them out of Egypt, and Pharaoh and his army were drowned. God then led them in the wilderness. Neither did anything come of resting in the wilderness. Oh yes, sometimes they did rest for a few days or a few weeks, and at Sinai about a year. But that was not the real rest. Then came the terrible wandering through the wilderness, which lasted nearly 40 years. This was their punishment because of their unbelief. Later, they had to fight for many years, first with Sihon and Og, then with the Midianites who followed the advice of Balaam. All this was when they still were on the other side of Jordan. In the land of Canaan, they had to fight with the Canaanites for 7 years. But now they received rest. The land was divided. Each tribe received a portion. Each Israelite received his own farm and his own house. Rest, at last. Now they did not have to march further, no. Now they could live there for good. Neither did they first have to build houses and barns, for they already were built by the Canaanites. The Canaanites being dead and not able to return, their houses and barns were now for them. Their possessions were now the property of the Israelites. They walked around their farms with their wives and children. The children especially were curious. They had to look all around. At night, they were put to bed in a strange house, but they could not fall asleep very quickly. Everything was so strange, so new for them. They longed already for the following day. How jolly they would play, and with that pleasant thought, they finally went to sleep. The children would be able to play so nice the following day, but the fathers had to go to work. They had to plow the land and sow the seed. Many grapes also were cultivated in the land of Canaan, not only one or two plants, but large fields. Such fields are called vineyards, and each plant is called a vine. Wine was made from these grapes. There were many of these vineyards. The Canaanites planted these vines and raised them, but now that the Canaanites are dead, all the vineyards are the property of the Israelites. Therefore, the Israelites had to also work in these vineyards. They had to pull the weeds and keep the vineyard clean. Yes, there was plenty of work, but the Israelites didn't think that burdensome. Why, no, they did that gladly, for from henceforth they would not have to work for someone else, as they did in Egypt. But they could now work for themselves, their wives, and children. The wheat and the barley which they sowed were their own. Later, mother would bake bread from that, and they could eat it. The Israelites worked industriously, and they did it with gladness. They also sang while they worked. Wheat also was cultivated in Egypt, but there it seldom rained. There they had to carry water in pails to the fields. But here in this land of Canaan it rained. The land was made wet by the rain, and it surely flourished abundantly. Look, the roads in the land of Canaan are filled with people. Men and women, boys and girls are all walking, and they are all neatly clothed, for they are wearing their very best clothing. When they go past a farmhouse, the farmer and his sons join them. Probably the farmer's wife goes too. If they walk through a village, the inhabitants of that town also join themselves to this procession, and the procession grows larger and larger. They continually march onward, further and further. Where are all those people going? Must the Israelites again leave the land of Canaan? Why, no. They are going on a journey.
A journey?
Yes, they are going to Shiloh. You still remember, don't you, that the tabernacle stood there? Now all the men, women, boys, and girls travel to Shiloh. Only the very small children who cannot walk so far remain at home. Generally, their mothers would not go, as they had to take care of them. They go to Shiloh from all directions, the north and the south, the east and the west, yes, even from the other side of Jordan. But why didn't they take the train? I see some of you smarter children beginning to smile when you read that. I can hear you cry out, "They didn't have trains in those days."
That is right. Nowadays, traveling is so easy, isn't it? You are there very soon with the train, bus, or automobile. But in former days, it wasn't so easy, and they had to walk. Oh yes, the rich could ride upon mules, but most of them walked. But in those days, the people could walk exceedingly well. So that is why we see large groups of people coming into the peaceful village of Shiloh from all directions. Some live close by, so they do not have to walk far. Others live far away, and they must walk a long distance. Sometimes it took them several days. But what must they all do in Shiloh? They go to Shiloh to celebrate a feast, the Passover. They were never once permitted to forget to celebrate that feast. They then commemorated their fathers and their own departure from Egypt. They remembered that terrible night when the angel slew all the firstborn of Egypt, and they remembered how they were spared because the blood of the Paschal Lamb was put on their doorposts. We celebrate the Passover, which is Easter, by remembering the resurrection of Christ. But the Israelites remembered their departure out of Egypt. We do not leave our homes at Easter, but the Israelites had to travel to Shiloh. The tabernacle stood there, the priests and high priest were there, and the sacrifices were brought there. They also brought their offering to this Passover. The crops still stood in the fields. Only the barley was ripe, so they bring along the first sheaf. They gave this to the Lord. The Lord made the wheat and the barley grow, and the Lord gave rain and sunshine. Therefore, the Lord received the first sheaf out of thankfulness. Passover lasted a week. It surely was a busy, busy week in Shiloh. When the Passover was passed, they all returned home to their farms and their own villages. But wasn't that somewhat dangerous to go away from their homes? Couldn't enemies come during that time and destroy everything? No. That would not happen, for the Lord had promised, and he would see to it that no enemies would come then.
they could leave their home with an easy and calm mind. The Lord would, when they traveled to Shiloh, watch over their homes and cattle, and then it would be safe. When the Israelites came home again, they had to get busy and work. The barley was mowed down and brought to the barn. In the meantime, the wheat became ripe, and that also was mowed and brought in. That was the time of harvest. When the crops were gathered in, the Israelites again traveled to Shiloh to celebrate another feast. The feast of Pentecost was the second feast. We also have Pentecost, which is 50 days after the Passover. Then we remember the pouring out of the Holy Ghost. The Israelites remembered upon their Pentecost, which was also 50 days after the Passover, the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. Didn't God speak to them at that time from the thick cloud? Didn't God give them the law of the Ten Commandments? Well then, the Israelites commemorated that at Pentecost. But they did more than that. Everyone brought along two loaves, the first loaves which had been baked from the wheat of the new harvest which had just been gathered in. At the Passover they brought the first sheaf, and 50 days later at Pentecost they brought the first loaves along. Again, this was out of thankfulness. They then thanked God that the crops were not a failure. Everyone also gave of what he could spare to the poor and to the widows. Do you ever do that? Do you ever give anything to a poor boy or girl? Or can't you ever spare anything? If not, you are miserly. After Pentecost, the Israelites again returned homeward. Then came the time that the grapes and other fruits were ripe. Many fruits grew in the land of Canaan, such as figs, olives, almonds, dates, and many more. Delicious! They would pick the bunches of grapes from the vine, put them into a stone trough, a wine press vat, stamp them fine, and catch the juice. From this they made wine. The figs and almonds were also picked. After all the harvest was gathered in, not only the wheat and barley, but also the fruits, they, for the third time, would travel to Shiloh. Oh, how thankful they were then! The Lord had taken such good care of them during the past year. When they thought of all the sins which they had done, oh, then they were ashamed. How often hadn't they been disobedient, and as so many times they had provoked the Lord to anger. They did not deserve the blessing which the Lord had bestowed upon them so richly. When they came to Shiloh, their faces were serious, and they were sorrowful because of their sins. See them all standing before the tabernacle. It is a serious moment. The high priest has taken off his splendid embroidered clothing, and in its place he is wearing a white garment. Come, we also will have a look. Two goats are standing near the high priest, held fast by a few priests. One of these goats is slain. The blood is caught in a basin. The high priest takes this basin of blood and enters into the tabernacle. He walks through the holy place, lifts the veil, and enters the Holy of Holies. The Ark of the Covenant stands within, isn't that right? That was the sign of God's presence. The ark had a golden cover, didn't it? This is called the propitiatory or mercy seat.
The high priest put his finger in the blood, which he has with him, and sprinkles it upon the mercy seat. The sins of the people were now forgiven. But, the blood of this goat could not forgive sins, could it? Of course not, but it pointed to the Lord Jesus. Now the goat died, but later the Lord Jesus would die, and the blood of the Lord Jesus could forgive sins. This goat was a type, a shadow of the Lord Jesus. Were the sins of every Israelite forgiven? No, only the Israelites who truly believed. Only the Israelites who received a new heart from the Lord were forgiven. But look, the high priest returns. He lays his hands upon the second goat, which has been standing there waiting all this time. What does that mean? Well, it is as though the high priest lays all the sins upon the second goat. Not really, for that cannot be, but it is seemingly, and it has that meaning. Then this second goat is brought far away, very far away, to the wilderness, and let go there. The Israelites never see this goat again. So also shall the sins of God's chosen people be atoned for by the Lord Jesus. This day was called the Day of Atonement. When this was finished, the high priest again would put on his nice clothing, and then the people were glad. Weren't their sins forgiven? Weren't their sins put away and brought away? The Israelites must be joyful for the rest of the day, which was God's command. But the Israelites who truly worshipped the Lord uprightly were the only ones who really were happy. God's people were the only ones who really had true happiness. They had peace in their souls. By faith, they looked to the Lord Jesus, who would one day die upon the cursed cross in their place. It was only a dead form for the unconverted Israelites, and nothing more. After the Day of Atonement came the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Tents. Do you know what the Israelites did then? They cut down branches from the trees, and with them they made a hut, a sort of arbor. They would live a week in this arbor. They would then think of former times, and when they were not yet in Canaan, the time when they roamed about in the wilderness living in tents. How pleasant that must have been to see all those thousands upon thousands of huts made of green branches. I would have liked to have seen that myself, wouldn't you? After the Feast of Tents, which lasted 8 days, the Israelites returned to their homes. Try to remember this, boys and girls. The Israelites had to travel to Shiloh and the tabernacle 3 times every year. The first time was at the Passover, the second time at Pentecost, and the third time at the Day of Atonement and the Feast of Tents or Tabernacles. And now I want to tell you something else. Listen attentively. Each week the Israelites had their Sabbath. We have our Sabbath each week, don't we? That was their day of rest. They were not permitted to do any work, but they had to devote that day to the worship of the Lord. We do that too on Sunday, don't we? Then you don't go to school, but you go to church. But the Israelites
also had a sabbatical year.
What is that?
Well, for 6 years the Israelites could plow and sow their fields with wheat or barley or any other fruits. But in the seventh year, they were not permitted to plow or sow. Their land had to rest the seventh year.
Didn't a famine come then?
No. The Lord took care of that. So much grew in the 6 years that the children of Israel could not use it all. They had a surplus, and of that laid away grain they could eat in the sabbatical year.
Once every 50 years, they had a jubilee year.
Do you know what that means?
No?
Then be very attentive. Sometimes it happened that all the cows and sheep of an Israelite died.
That was sad, wasn't it?
Still, this Israelite must have other cows and sheep. This would cost much money, which he did not have. Do you know what he would do? He would sell a portion or two portions of his land. With that money, he would buy other cows and sheep. With still another Israelite, the children often were very sick. Continually, the doctor had to come. At the end of the year, the bill had to be paid. How will he ever pay it? That father had to sell his land or house, and from that money he had to pay the large debt.
But now these people have lost their land or house.
Oh, how this grieved them. Now they are poor as can be, and they cannot do anything about it. They always have done their very best.
But when the jubilee year came, once every 50 years, then these Israelites received back their land and house, and that for nothing. They didn't have to buy it, because that was impossible, but it was given to them. They again could return either to his own farm or again could live in his own house. How glad these people were, don't you think so too? These people had many reasons to be jubilant or glad. Now you know something of the sabbatical year and the jubilee year. Remember it, do you hear?